our mothers. Amen. We have something that we're going to be giving out to you. Sister Penny, I think, is working on it even as we speak. So if we could get a couple of men volunteers this morning to come forward.
Couple, three, four, whatever.
All right. All of our mothers stand. Let's give them a hand as they stand this morning. This is a very small token of our appreciation and our admiration for the wonderful job that mothers do. Let allow us this morning to give you a rose in honor of you being a mother. And, you know, someone once figured up exactly what it would cost to pay a mother for all the jobs that she does. Well, we don't have that much money, I will assure you, because it is an enormous amount, amen, that they do with all of the cooking and cleaning and all of the things that a mother does, psychology and all of the one parenting, is just so many. So as you remain standing, we want to give you out a rose this morning. So men, you go give all those lovely ladies a rose.
Thank you.
Sister Penny reminded me that if we have some roses left, if some of you that are here, your mother's not in attendance with you this morning, if you want to carry a rose to her, just see Sister Penny after the service this morning. Amen. When all the mothers get a rose, I want to give them another hand clap of appreciation. Let's wait till they all get given a rose. Well, certainly. Absolutely. I got to stand. You might as well. All right. Is that every mother got a rose? All right, one more time, men. Let's give them a hand clap of appreciation. This is for you mothers. And it goes way, way back in time. I did this for Mother Friday. And me and Herb almost made it through the song without crying. But it's, M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart as pure as gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. Thank you, mothers. Y'all. We do love and appreciate our mothers. Before I get into the sermon this morning, remember, there will be no Sunday night service tonight. We encourage you to spend some time, if you have your mother, with your family today. We certainly intend to do that with my mother and Sister Penny's mother. So you take this evening and just have some time with your family. Also, next Saturday at 12 o'clock, there will be a memorial service here at First Pentecostal Church for Sister Judy Williams. Many of you know that she did pass away, and her body was carried back to her home in Kentucky, where she was laid to rest there. But since she's been a longtime member of First Pentecostal Church and a precious, precious lady, and the impact that she has made not only on our lives, but the lives of those in her neighborhood, We want to have a memorial service on her behalf Saturday at 12 o'clock. So make plans to come and be a part of that. Again, that's this coming Saturday at 12 o'clock. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. We do appreciate our mothers, and we thank God for you. And if you have mom with you, just give her a hug. Amen. Let her know how much you love her. We were talking about, I think it was Wednesday night, we mentioned nerves. And I began to tell the congregation how that I didn't know how many nerves my mother had. But evidently she had a lot. But she always told me I was on her last nerve. So ever how many she had, I found a way to find her last nerve. And that usually meant correction, punishment, or all of the above. So thank God for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of 2 Kings. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, I want to read verse 1 through 7 this morning to take our lesson text. 2 Kings, chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The Bible reads this way. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house, or in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus to ask God that you touch and anoint this congregation. Father, I pray that you would meet each and every need. Father, we come with thankful hearts this morning, God, not only for your spirit, your mercy, and your grace, but on behalf of our precious mothers. Father, those that are still here and those who have already gone home to be with you. Father, we're so thankful, God, for what they have meant in our lives. God, for the teaching, for the correction, and for the overwhelming love that they have shared with us. Father, not unlike that love that you shared for us when Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Father, I ask that you anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, to speak to us that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive, that we might be obedient to your holy and precious word. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before I get into this morning's message, I do believe that, I don't see it now, but Sister Hux called me this week, and she has a beautiful peace lily that she wanted to know if it would be all right to bring to the church in remembrance of her dear husband who passed away, Brother John Hux, who was certainly a wonderful man of God and loved this church and loved God. So if someone would bring that peace lily up front this morning, I believe someone's getting it now. Yeah, just bring it right down here and set it in front of the communion table. And that is on behalf of, it's a beautiful, beautiful arrangement on behalf of Brother John Hux this morning. And thank you, Sister Hux, for that remembrance. And I believe she's going to let that stay here at the church. So we thank God for that. Give Sister Hux a hand clap. She's such a precious lady. Amen.
No question.
Well, this morning I want to bring a message entitled A Mother's Cry. A Mother's Cry. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to hear a mother cry, but it is an overwhelming emotional experience. Amen. I remember the whippings. I remember the chastisement. But oh, I remember the tears of a mother. And somehow, even greater than the little hickory or the belt or the punishment of staying in her room or whatever the occurrence called for a little bit of correction, nothing seemed to grip my heart like the tears of mother. Just recently, we were talking at our little men's meeting on Friday morning, and we were talking about parenting, and we were talking about how when we were small, we could not understand or comprehend when mom said, "This is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you." And we said, "Yeah, right. You're on that end of the belt. I'm the one that's on this end of the belt." Little did we know those prophetic words, amen, would come to bear a great importance upon our life as we began to raise and rear our children. And when we had to correct them and offer up punishment, we recall the words of our parents when they told us that it was going to hurt us more than it's going to hurt you. In fact, it's going to be beneficial. You don't understand that yet, but believe me, it will be beneficial. But the tears of a mother have moved nations. The tears of a mother have moved lives. Here we find a very familiar story in the Bible concerning the prophet Elisha. And I thought it was very unique here on Mother's Day that Elisha here has two occurrences with women. One is a widow woman. After he has this occurrence with her and God moves on her behalf, he is, according to the Bible, he is instantly met by another woman who is not a widow, but she begins to make a place for Elisha to stay when he travels through, makes him a little bitty room. And no sacrifice goes unnoticed to God, because in later times we find that this same Shunammite woman's son died, and Elisha came, and through the mercy of God, his life was restored. So, but I want to focus on the first lady this morning who began to come to Elisha. First thing she did was remind Elisha of the service of her husband. I read a little bit about the sons of the prophets, and they were a little bit unique and a little bit different to the prophets. The prophets, more times than not, were celibate. They were not married. They did not have an immediate family. Most of them did not have a wife or sons or daughters. They were pretty much dedicated and married to the work, to the worship and to the service of God. But the sons of the prophets, which ministered to their needs and were there to help them, and many of them traveled with them, many of them also had families, so they had other obligations and they had responsibilities, and this was the case. The Bible is not explicit. It does not give us in detail what happened to the man that passed away, but evidently he left his wife and sons with some debt, and the debt must have been paid in that particular day that they were living in. If money was not presented to make the payment or some kind of restitution was made, then according to the law, they could actually apprehend their sons to make them become bondmen or slaves in payment of the debt. And I would imagine that the woman here, the Bible doesn't bear it out, but I would imagine she had probably reached into every resource that she possibly could. Mothers are amazing at doing that, by the way. Moms can take little things in the house and make big things out of them. I remember when we were coming home from school a lot of times. Now, when I was coming home from school, basically that meant we were home for the evening. There wasn't any running to McDonald's or running up to Walmart or going to the nearby grocery store to get a snack. Or when I was picking up Trey from school, I didn't realize that incurred a stop at the store to get a drink and a snack. And that was every day that we picked him up. So, we didn't have that luxury when I was growing up. And when we got off the school bus, Mother would take something that was in the house and make us a treat. Many times it was a mayonnaise sandwich and a vanilla cookie. I recall that one time she got the little duplex cookies. That's one with the vanilla on the top and the chocolate wafer on the bottom and the cream inside. And I preferred the vanilla, so I even taught a message about this one time. And I would take the cookie apart and I would eat the chocolate wafer first because I saved the best to last. And then I would lick the cream out, and then I would finish it off with the vanilla. But my point is that it wasn't extravagant. It wasn't a Happy Meal. Trey was wanting a Happy Meal the other day, and I said, let's see if they have any unhappy meals in there. Papa, they don't make unhappy meals. They only make happy meals. Thank God for that. But anyway, Mom would take whatever was in the house, and she would make provision for us. And it seemed like a banquet to us because we just got off the bus and was really hungry. And I knew that mothers are, they have that ability, amen, to take something and make something good out of it. Many, many times they can take a bad situation. I don't know what it is about a boo-boo that we had, and we brought it to Mother, and Mother was able to smooth that away, not only with Mercurochrome, but amen, with just encouragement and telling us it's going to be all right. And I would imagine this mother was very much like any other mother, that she probably had gone to great lengths to find any and everything in the house to be able to save her family and to keep the family together and to keep her sons at home. The Bible doesn't tell us how old the sons were, but I don't imagine they were probably working age, or they probably, Brother Jim, would have been working. So they were probably still very dependent on Mom and still probably fairly young. And she could not stand the thoughts of losing her son, so she did any and everything, I would imagine, being a very resourceful woman, to take everything that was in the house. And this is just my imagination. Maybe everything that she thought was of value, she had already sold and tried to pay down the debt to try to keep the creditors from coming and taking her sons. That was the last thing that she had. You know, her husband was gone, and there wasn't any Social Security, and there wasn't any, probably wasn't any great insurance benefit that was left. It was left up to her to be now feel both obligations as Mom and Dad. And, you know, unfortunately, there's situations still like that in the world today where it's very difficult on a single parent who's trying to raise children, and sometimes it takes a great amount of sacrifice. So she did the only thing that she knew to do. She cried. And when she cried, basically it wasn't tears of pity. It wasn't tears of sadness, but she cried unto the man of God. I believe she prayed, God, send me away. Help me out of this situation. I don't know if you've ever been to a place where you thought that everything was hopeless. You couldn't see a way out. You tried everything in your ability, amen, to make the ends meet. You tried to do whatever you could, amen, to restore the situation. You tried and did all of those things, and it held it off for a little while, but you finally realized there's nothing else that I can do. And we know that because of her response to the man of God when he said, what shall I do for thee? And then he says, what hast thou in thine house? And I thought, how many times we often forget what really is in the house. Yes. Many, many times we call a situation hopeless when it's not completely hopeless. I'm a firm believer, if we're child of God, we never face a hopeless situation. I didn't say we wouldn't face a situation. We may even face a dire situation. But as long as that is within us, that Holy Spirit of God, as long as God is holding our hand, we are never in a hopeless situation. There is always a recourse. There is always a resource down inside us. Many, many times we have to reach way down inside of that what is within us. Amen. And we have to bring that to light and understand that greater is He that is within us. Amen. That He that is in the world, we're not going to become a victim. I just read something recently that said we may experience defeat, but we'll never be defeated. I want to say that again. We may experience defeat, but we will never be defeated. Amen. It takes a true child of God to be able to make a statement like that. We're going to face certain consequences. We're going to face certain setbacks, but praise God, we're not going to be a victim. We're not going to be defeated. Amen. Because we have a resource. There is something still left in the house. When everything else seems to be gone, there is something that we can rely on. And she says, nothing save a pot of oil. Just a pot of oil. I thought about what she maybe thought about that pot of oil. Maybe she thought it was precious enough to keep, but not enough or not sufficient to meet the needs. And I thought about that spirit within us. Amen. We thank the Lord for that spirit that is within us. But many times I think that we have doubt and don't really believe that it is sufficient to meet the need that we're facing. Now, whether that is a materialistic need, a financial need, a spiritual need, a need for healing, whatever that need may be, I believe that that is within us, amen, I believe that is more than sufficient. Because he tells us his grace is sufficient. So she said, nothing save a pot of oil. The only thing that I have left in my house of value is this little pot of oil. And then the man of God gives her a strange request. He said, go and borrow vessels, plural, vessels. And I thought about this, and I thought about obedience unto God. And when God tells us to do something, I believe we need to do it to the fullest amount of our ability. I thought about the vessels that they would borrow. And I wondered why he told her, don't borrow a few, but in other words, borrow as many vessels as you can get from your neighbors. And she put her sons to work and told them to go and borrow vessels and not a few. And I this is where we begin to question faith sometimes. Even I've heard people say, well, I don't know why the Bible's telling me to do this, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. You need to do it with energy. Amen. You need to do it with faith. You need to do it to the best of your ability. If the Lord tells you to borrow vessels, amen, don't be satisfied with bringing one or two. Amen. If the Lord tells you to go out and witness to vessels, don't be dissatisfied when you witness to one or two, but as many vessels, amen, as you can possibly find, bring them back and go into your room and shut the door on you and your sons. I read a commentary recently, and the commentary said that he believed that the reason that the prophet did not go into the room and share with them or be with them is because the prophet wanted to know, or wanted the family to know, that it was nothing more than the power of God that was going to sustain them. And I thought how unlike that is about many evangelists today. Many ministers would want to get the glory, would want to get the praise, amen, if a prayer has been answered. But not Elisha. He said, no, I'm not going in there. I want you to go in. I want you to shut the door. And I want you to get your sons there. And he said, I want you to pour out. Praise God. That had such a spiritual effect on me as I was reading that. Pour out. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, when's the last time you have shut everything else out of your memory bank? When is the last time you have hung up the telephone, turned off the television, put the newspaper aside, and you got into your prayer closet and you did nothing more except pour out to God? You begin to confess. You begin to pray. You begin to seek the almighty power of God, and nothing else was going to interfere. There was nothing going to be a disturbance between you and your time to God. And I said, Lord, I want to get to a situation where I can be one-on-one with you and just pour out my heart. Now, I know God knows our thoughts and I know his heart, but it's not for God's benefit that we pour out. It's for our benefit that we pour out unto God. Bring your sons in with you. And I would imagine, being like many Christians today, first thing we want to do is kind of test the power of God. Elisha did it himself, the mighty prophet. You know, when he was following Elijah around and he wanted a double portion, and Elijah said, it's going to be a hard thing, but if you're with me and you see me go up, he said, then it'll be granted to what you desire. And when he went up, the mantle fell down. And you remember, Elisha picked the mantle up, and the first thing he did, he went down to the River Jordan and tested it. Amen. Tested that. And praise God, he found out that the God of Elijah is also the God of Elisha. And let me remind you this morning, the God of Elijah and the God of Elisha is also the God of this day. In 2018, he's still powerful. He's still the mighty God. He's still the great I am, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. If we need to test it, glory to God, he's still just as real, still just as powerful as he ever was. And I would imagine the widow lady said, give me one of the vessels. And amazingly, now I don't know how small the pot of oil was, but evidently it was quite small for her to place the adjective in front of it. Now if she had said, I got a gigantic pot of oil, or I got a pretty good size bottle of oil, you know, it's kind of like going to the grocery store. You can get the little side, or you can get the giant side. And then you can get, what do they call it? The family size. My Lord, I was in the meat market several months ago, and I was looking for some chicken, and I saw the price per pound. You know, we pay very little attention to the price per pound. We look at the finished price, don't we? We look, well, how much is this? It's $8.56. Then we look, good Lord have mercy, that's $5 a pound. And I was looking, and the chicken that I was going to get, you know, was a certain amount of. So I looked there, and they had a family pack of drumsticks. My Lord, it looked like a whole chicken house full of chickens had give up their legs for that one package. That's the most drumsticks I believe I've ever seen in one package. But you know what? The price per pound was economical. But I thought, I don't need that many chicken legs. I like chicken legs, but the rest of the family didn't. In fact, I was given explicit orders to buy the chicken breast. Amen. Buy the chicken breast. And, you know, so I would imagine if she had had one of those giant economy-sized things of oil, she probably wouldn't even ask God to help her. But she said, all I got is a small pot of oil, just a little bitty, save a pot of oil in the house. And Elisha said, that's fine, but take and borrow vessels and begin to pour out. So she pours out, probably a little bit in doubt, maybe a little bit in confusion, but she says, I'm going to obey the Lord. And so she pours that oil, and it fills up that vessel, and she says, bring me another vessel. And her sons brought another vessel, and she poured that oil out of that same little pot, and it filled up that vessel. She said, bring me another vessel. And they brought her another vessel, and she filled that one up, and she filled that one up, and she still asked for another vessel. And her son said, that's all the vessels that we have. And the Bible says the oil stayed. Can I tell you, God began to speak to me about how that many, many times he uses individuals. And I believe God has a special purpose for mothers and for parenting. Amen. Because I remember the times that I went to mother as an empty vessel. And I needed advice. I needed consolation. I needed the assurance that God was going to make a way. And thank God I had parents who were God-fearing. They didn't have all the answers. They told me they didn't have all the answers. But they always told me God was the answer. And I thank God for that, because I don't believe many households are, I won't say many, but I believe there's households today that are not getting that. They're not getting that parental guidance to trust in God, to put your faith in God, to give the Lord your soul, to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your master, to be your Lord, and to be your Savior. But thank God I had that. Amen. And many, many times I would go to mom as an empty vessel, and she would begin to pour out, and she would pour out of that was of great value to her, because she had had experience in life, and she knew that when things seemed desolate or destitute. She would always trust in God, and she encouraged me to do the same thing. And it may not be that I've given you this step advice and do this, do that, and the other, but it would be something like this. If you'll just seek God, if you'll just give your petition unto God, if you'll just ask God to make a way, God will never fail you. And I thank God for the many, many times that I've thought about the empty vessels that are around today, and if they'd had someone, amen, to point them to God, if they'd had someone to pour into them the knowledge and the wisdom of Christ and what the Word tells us that we should do and how should we live faithfully and holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. And I begin to think, are we as parents doing that same thing? When that filled our vessel, are we passing that on to the next generation? Are we giving that to our children? Are we encouraging them to be strong, to be independent, not from God, but to be independent from this world and the material things of this world, and put our faith and trust in an almighty God who I found out will never fail us, who also said, I will go with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And she poured out into empty vessels. Amen. Empty vessels. There's so many vessels today that are empty. There is no direction in their life. There is no fulfillment in their life. There is no goals in their life. There's nothing that seems to satisfy them. And the reason that is, I think, it's not because of that's going in them, but it doesn't remain in the vessel. It's easily gone. You heard the saying, easy come, easy go. I think too many souls today are seeking things that will satisfy the vessel rather than sustain the vessel. Amen. I believe that some of the words that my parents gave me were not so easily digested, but thank God they took root. Thank God that they stayed. Thank God that they began to nourish me. I find myself today saying some of the same things that my parents told me. Amen. And the reason I do that is because they were so profound. They were such guided with the wisdom and love. Amen. And they still are not outdated today. Just do the right thing. Always trust God. Never lean to thine own understanding, but always trust in God. God will never fail you. And every vessel she poured out and emptied that vessel, that pot of oil, she poured into that empty vessel and began to fill it up. And this is where I thought, you know, many of us would have been satisfied with borrowing three or four vessels, but not her. The man of God said, borrow not a few. And I thought about the empty vessels that are in the world today and how that we feel if we've led one to Christ. Amen. But let me tell you something. The exhilaration and the fulfillment that you have when you lead one soul to Christ should never be satisfied. You should try to get another vessel. You should try to reach out to someone and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Amen. Because if God has instilled that within us, amen, and that spiritual oil that flows, amen, the anointing power of God, the Holy Ghost that He has filled us with, we need to pour that out to others. And let me tell you something. Folks, there are a lot of empty vessels in this world today that need the Spirit of God. They need the guidance of His Word. Amen. And if God has filled us, why shouldn't we want to be able to share that with others? Amen. And she poured and she poured and she poured. Finally, there was not another vessel. He said, there is not a vessel more, and they all stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And she told him what had happened. We went in and we shut the door behind us and we took the pot of oil that I had and we began to fill the vessels, and we filled every vessel that was borrowed from neighbors, every vessel that we could possibly get our hands on, the small vessels, the medium vessels, the large vessels, all were filled from that one pot of oil. Thank God for an obedient mother. Thank God for an obedient saint of God who just keeps on pouring, keeps on helping, keeps on encouraging, keeps on loving, amen, keeps on forgiving time and time and time again, because there is no way that we can understand how many vessels that we could possibly reach with that is within us. It's the only thing of value in that house was that pot of oil. And she goes to the man of God and he tells her, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What seemed hopeless, what seemed like there was no answer, in fact, what was already there, was enough to pay the debt and to live on the rest for her and her son. Bible doesn't say how long, but he said evidently it was a great sum because they were able to live. And she saved her sons. She saved her sons for what looked like a complete life of slavery. Think about that spiritually. Are we willing to shut ourselves in with our family? God really could touch me with this. Sometimes, you know, there's a saying said, the family that prays together stays together. I know how the situation is today. Sometimes we can't even get our family stays together long enough to praise together. Because we eat at different times. We eat at different locations. Some eat while they're running. And I thought about that. And I thought about my background. And we had that little time around the table when we ate. And I'm not saying you have to do that. Don't get me wrong. Said Brother Eddie's got to say we got to all eat together. Now, that's not what I'm saying. But let me ask you this. When's the last time you gathered your family together? And you just shut the door. Now, it doesn't have to be a physical door, but you shut the door to everything around you. And we're just going to pour out. We're just going to pray. You know, it doesn't have to be when situations arise. It doesn't have to be when sickness is evident. It doesn't have to be when you have an issue that you're facing. It could just be a time, you know what, we just need a little time to spend together as a family. And we need to pray together. And we need to ask God's protection. We need, you know, when our children get up to a point where they're no longer in front of our eyes, we know that we need to pray, amen, for God's safety upon them. Peace be with them. Help them. But we also need to pray, God, give them the right spirit. God, give them the right wisdom and knowledge to be obedient and submissive unto you. Let me tell you something. Raising a child is more than birthing a child. Man. And you know, there was a saying where I used to work. It says, learning never ends, basically. You're always learning. And you, even as parents, we're always learning. But one thing that we can learn from the Bible, amen, we need to train them up in the way that they should go. Amen. Not the way that I said they should go, but the way that the Word of God says that they could go. And if you're here today and you've got a mother or dad that took the time to bring you in, shut the door of all of the interruption and all of the interference that's going on and begin to pour out to you, begin to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with anointing your children. Amen. God bless them. God help them. God protect them. When they come to the age of responsibility, when they come to the age, Lord, of knowing right for wrong, I pray, God, that they will immediately accept you, ask you to come into their life, God, and fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, let that oil flow, that anointing flow. Let it lead them. Let it guide them, Lord. And not only them, but every empty vessel that they come in contact with. And I thought about the story. And I thought about the Word of God. Then I thought about the responsibility that God has placed on us, on our shoulders as parents. As parents. Amen. It is a very important responsibility. Not only responsibility, but an obligation to be the very best parent that God would have us to be for our children. Sometimes that means telling children no. Sometimes that means not giving in to them. Amen. But you know, according to the will of God, what's best in their life. And you raise them up in the fear and the admonition of God so that when they come to that age, amen, they will most rightfully turn from this wickedness of this world and turn to an open confession of Christ. Again, mothers, you do a fantastic job. You do a great job. There's a reason that God created mothers. Amen. They're just more long-suffering than us men, folks. I really believe that with all of my heart. But that doesn't mean that the men can't help in the parenting either. Amen. You need to be there for your children. So thank you for your motherhood. Thank you for your responsibility. Most of all, thank you for pouring out that is within you, not only to your children, but to your children's children as well. Amen. It starts in the home, folks. Starts in the home. Think about it. Sunday school only has them once a week. Your school has them 5 days a week, but you have them the rest of the time. Don't let somebody else fill your vessels with things that you need to pass on to your generation. May God bless you. Would you stand? Have a very happy Mother's Day today. Love your mother. If you can, if she's here, let her know. Give her a hug. Amen. Let her know how thankful you are for what she's done and all of the life and raising, and just ask the Lord to bless her. If you don't have your mother, amen, somehow, some way, just kind of give her a little thoughtful prayer today. Praise God.